Thank you, Dr. G.
Okay, so here we go. So cyclophosphamide is a known chemotherapeutic agent, and it's by causing DNA cross-linkings, DNA protein cross-linking, and strand breaks. And it's also known to have most of its toxicity effect on the reproductive system. When we administer cyclophosphamide to male rats, it has a dose-dependent and time-specific effect on spermatogenesis, which would then lead to a whole different slew of consequences on the embryo development, ranging from post-implantation death, pre-implantation loss, and abnormal progeny outcome. Therefore, for our purpose of this talk, we are interested in looking at early events following fertilization. So what is the effect of paternal exposure on the early embryo development following fertilization up until the 8-cell embryo stage? Therefore, we hypothesize that DNA damage introduced by sperm paternal exposure to cyclophosphamide will activate a DNA damage response in the early pre-implantation embryo, which may play a role in determining the early embryo fate. So to look at this hypothesis, we wanted to assess a different objective in the early embryo. So first, to look at how the embryo is able to recognize the damage introduced by CP-exposed sperm by looking at gamma H2AX foci. And then to look at the pre-implantation embryo cell cleavage and progression during those first few cell cycle division. Then to look at marker of DNA damage, such as micronuclei. And then to look at how the embryos is able to respond to that damage by activating repair pathways by looking at PAR formation. So first, I would like to introduce our male model, which is the male Sprigdali rats. These rats were treated with 6 milligram per kilogram per day of CPA, and then the controller given 1 ml per day of saline water. This dose here is the equivalent human dose, which is a low chronic dose. And these male were treated for a period of 4 weeks, targeting spermatids undergoing chromatin condensation. These males were then mated to naturally cycling females. The embryos were collecting at different time points following fertilization, stained for specific proteins, and then these embryos were assessed by confocal microscopy and further analyzed by Ameris. So for the first objective, when we wanted to know how the embryos is able to recognize the damage, we determined that following fertilization, sperm decondensation was happening faster in their CPA-treated embryos, as well as the embryo were able to recognize damage by forming gamma H2AX foci as soon as the sperm was decondensed. And these results were published in BOR 2010. So now if we look at the second objective, which is the progression of those early embryos following CPA exposure, first we had to know when following fertilization and where those embryos can be found in the female reproductive tract. So we know that on day zero, this is where fertilization happens. It's in the ampulla region. On day 0.5, it traveled a little bit down the ampulla, and this is where we found pronuclear zygotes. On day one following fertilization, we determined that most of the embryos were a 2-cell embryo. And then further on day three following fertilization, we get most of our embryo at the 8-cell stage. Now if we look at the embryo morphology at these different time of collection, pronuclear zygotes, it looks like this. It's a 1-cell where the male pronucleus, it's always bigger compared to the female pronucleus. 2-cell embryos where you can see the very well differentiated 2-cell and the DNA stain with propionic iodide in red. And on day three of collection, we get a whole slew of embryonic developmental stages, which we divided in two subgroups. The 5 to 8 cell, they were counted by the number of nuclei in red, and then the 9 to 16 cell. Then for quantification, we decided to look at the embryonic stage at the different collection time points here. And first, if we look at collection on day one, we notice that in both control saline and the CPA, all of the embryos were able to make it to 2-cell stage. But then when we looked at the embryonic collection day two, we noticed that half of the CPA-treated sperm embryos were still at the 2-cell compared to a 23% of the control that were still at the 2-cell stage. So already on day two following fertilization, you see that paternal exposure to cyclophosphamide caused a delay very early during pre-implantation. And this delay was even more significant on the third day of collection, where in a CPA-treated group, you see 15% of the embryos that were still at the 3-4 cell, and then only 15% were at the normally dividing stage of 9-16 cell compared to control. So from this objective, we realized that paternal exposure do cause an embryonic delay as early as day two following fertilization. So this concluded our objective number two. So now we wanted to look at markers of DNA damage. And one of them we noticed very often in our embryos was the formation of micronuclei. So what are micronuclei? Micronuclei are fragmented pieces of DNA. And we first noticed micronuclei formation at the 2-cell stage collecting on day one. And these here are circled in white. They have the same nuclear structure as the main nucleus, except that they're always smaller and they contain less DNA for the same volume. So now if we looked at the quantification of those embryos with micronuclei on day one, 2-cell embryos, and day three, 8-cell embryo, we noticed that in our CPA-treated group, there was a very significant increase in the incidence of those micronuclei in the embryos, as high as 70%, compared to a normal 5% incidence in the control embryo. So here we can see that the proportion of embryo did not increase from day one to day three in our CPA-treated group. This is suggesting to us that the micronuclei are formed at the 2-cell stage, and it seems to be those same embryos having the same number incidence of micronuclei later on. Then we wanted to look at the average number of micronuclei per embryos at those 2 days of collection. And we noticed that it was the same number of micronuclei from day one and day three. This is suggesting to us that those micronuclei, there doesn't seem to be newly synthesized or newly formed at day three of pre-implantation. So from the first objective where we realized that the embryos were delayed during pre-implantation, we wanted to know if the incidence of micronuclei could be responsible for the embryonic delay. So what we did is to look specifically on day three of embryonic collection in the CPA-treated group. And we noticed that the proportion of embryo with micronuclei, those that were delayed at 3-4 cell, they were greater proportion of embryos with micronuclei compared to the normally dividing 9-16 cell, as well as the average number of micronuclei per cell was significantly greater in those that were delayed compared to those that were normally dividing. So here's suggesting a link between the extent of DNA damage by the number of micronuclei or the incidence of micronuclei delaying embryonic development. So what is the response of the embryo to that great extent of DNA damage by micronuclei? We decided to look at poly-ADP ribose formation in those embryos. So we know that PAR formation is involved in many different functions, but one of them is repair. So we know that PAR polymers are added onto acceptor protein by the enzymatic activation of poly-ADP ribose polymerase by cleaving NAD+ to a nicotinamide, and then we remove those PAR polymers by poly-ADP ribose glucuronidase. So we decided to look at immunolocalization of PAR, and it was mostly nuclear at all the stages of embryonic development collected, and that it was the same intensity in the nucleus versus micronuclei. But here on day three of embryonic collection, we noticed that it seems to be a decrease in PAR nuclear localization, which we quantified, and we saw significantly decreased. But what was even more interesting is when we compared the amount of DNA content in the main nucleus versus the micronuclei, compared to the PAR nuclear localization, we noticed that for the same DNA content, you had a lot more PAR localized in the micronuclei at both day 1 and day 3 of collection. So all in all these studies points to us the following situation in the embryos, that following paternal exposure to cyclophosphamide, you get a faster sperm decondensation, and micronuclei are formed on day 1, which potentially leads to the developmental delay, and that the decrease in nuclear localization on day 3 we seems to be from the energy depletion of the embryo following extent of damage, and possibly relocalization of PAR protein in the micronuclei, potentially to repair the damage. So thank you very much for the attention, and I would like to thank Dr. Hells and Dr. Bernard Robert for giving me the opportunity to work on this exciting project. Thank you.
Questions for Lizanne?
I thought that she was going to ask a question. I noticed you have a very high percentage of the embryo, pretty high percentage of the embryos that have micronuclei, around 70% or something like that. Nonetheless, those among those treated embryos, a reasonably high proportion got to, in one of your slides, I don't know if it was 9 to 16 cell or 5 to 8 cell, which would imply that a lot of the embryos with micronuclei nonetheless could continue development at least to a relatively advanced stage. And that seems a bit surprising because likely they would be missing chromosomes. Do you have any sort of insights to offer into that, not discrepancy, but to say discordance between the two measures of the efficiency of the, or the effect of the CPA?
Yeah. Well, first of all, we know that they do have micronuclei, some of them,
right,
but the extent of the number of micronuclei per cell is still less in those that are dividing as what we think they're supposed to be. But even the cell with micronuclei depends on the functionality of those micronuclei. So are those micronuclei able to function, or at least allow the embryo to divide further on? I don't know, and I think they are, but even a cell with a micronuclei is able to divide, because we saw that even at the 2-cell with micronuclei, those 2-cell with micronuclei still divides to 9 to 16 cells. So it's not because an embryo has micronuclei, it will stop right there. It's just I think it depends most on the extent of damage. There's always a variation in the extent of damage in the CPA sperm.
Okay.
Right?
The guest always goes first, please.
Thank you. So I wonder if you plan to do some chromosome painting experiments to see whether certain chromosomes got preferentially segregated to the micronuclei.
We would love to do that, and we've been asked every time I give the presentation, but up to now there is no fish or no probe. There's only two, X chromosome and the chromosome 4. That is available for probes, but even with that, previous student in the lab only found, I think it was 4% from millions of sperm that it was affecting aneuploidy like that. So we're a little bit restricted to do these kinds of analysis right now.
Hi, I'm actually looking at your abstract because I missed the very beginning. And even though I'm on your committee, I can't remember
what... You should
know. I should know, yeah. I'm sort of making this up as I go along, but I'm wondering how you think about your data in light of Dr. Klein's talk, because here you're looking at effects of these treatments in a time frame that you probably wouldn't consider clinically, right? So in terms of effects, or maybe I'm screwing this up with the BEP model. That's why I was looking at your abstract. All right. Well, anyway, we can still consider how can you discriminate between an effect that you see early on versus effects that you might see of an exposure that might occur later on because of epigenetic modifications.
So you're saying that the males were exposed at a different time, and the damage on the sperm I'm asking about
if cancer treatment isn't forever, right? But what's the long-term effect of the treatment of an acute treatment later in life?
Acute treatment, I think it's mostly reversible depending on the dose, but here we know that it's reversible at this low dose.
But the question really is, what's reversible?
The effect on the damaged sperm.
Okay, but I'm saying that you're looking at DNA damage. What about epigenetic modifications that might be more long-lasting?
Well, I don't know. It could be. I don't know.
Okay, thanks.
I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. I should have been here for the beginning.
Since I'm in the committee, so I thought I'll make a small comment. Just to answer Hugh's query about this micronuclei, because you may lose chromosomes through this micronuclei. Just to make a comment, in human we do fine, binuclear, micronuclear, I think I discussed with you. And basically, the embryo can divide. It can go to blastocyst, like because we do fish and we look at it and we find random loss or gain of chromosome in those. Probably those are through micronuclei or via anaphase leg. But they reach blastocyst. Morphologically, they look okay. But we never see this embryo implanted. That means maybe they are lost very early on, or they never implant, because we never see in spontaneous abortion. So they do divide. At least they survive somehow in the pre-implantation development. Just a comment.
Yeah, no, and we do see that. Usually the death happens post-implantation or around implantation time. Thank you.
Okay.